Well, I'm going to have a couple weeks here that I'm going to talk about what I'm calling the missional community. And that's what we want to be as a church. And so I thought I would start out with what we're about, which you have on the front of your bulletin. And if you've been around, you've heard this a lot. And this is our what we want to be, what we feel like we are, but we're going to get greater and greater degrees of this. And this is our mission statement. Just for fun. Just to make you feel uncomfortable. Those who are regulars, you can read this along with me, okay? Just for fun. We don't do that as a church. The Vineyard Community Church's mission is to become an authentic community of fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ who experience, demonstrate, and tell all people about the reality of God's kingdom in everyday life. I love that. You know, what we want to be is we want to be this, and we want it to, as you look at it, we can kind of take our vision statement, I've kind of dropped it into three places, and we really look at it that way, is we want to be an authentic community of real, where we can be ourselves and connected to each other and interdependent on each other and supporting each other. We want to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, and we want to be a people who actually experience God, His reality and His presence and His power. And then we want to have that experience go out to the place that we demonstrate with our words and what we do and affect all the people that we touch in all of our life. And so, as I thought about that, you know, I looked at it and I thought, which one here would you say is the most important if you have to break down the three? You don't say it out loud so you won't be wrong and everybody go, oh, you're wrong. Look at those three. If you had to pick out one of those three, which one would you pick as saying, you only can pick one, what do you have to pick? See, I think you have to pick the center of it. Fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the center of that's what everything flows out of. If you think about the disciples, is, you know, they became devoted followers of Jesus. And as they learned to do that, and in relationship with God and experiencing Him, something happened. They started experiencing this authentic community among these people who knew Jesus. And then they also began what? They've been going out and began understanding and experiencing the kingdom of God and then also expressing the kingdom of God at the same time. And so that's kind of what I want to focus in on. And so this morning I want to kind of take that whole thing of a follower of Jesus Christ and kind of focus in on the devoted follower of Jesus Christ and kind of focus in on the following part and how it is that we follow. And so if we want to become what we call a missional community, we have to understand it's going to only flow out of each one of us following better and understanding what God is saying and responding to Him. And in that, this is what will come out of it, a missional community. Now, it's interesting, this whole thing about following. Following is not something you did. You understand that? So if someone says, David, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And I would say, yeah, I did that. And you go, no, that's not answering your question, right? It's not, I did that. It's I could look back at something that takes me to, what am I doing now? Am I actually following Him now in the way I'm living now? And so I can take back and look at my journey and say when I first started following Him. But the whole essence of being a disciple is this whole thing of continuing to step out and follow God in the way that He leads us, right? Now, following is actually I call it a predetermined yes, you know. It's kind of an attitude of yes. Like, I say this a lot, it's like the question is, you say it this way, yes, Lord, yes, Jesus, now what's the question? Yes, Jesus, now what's the question? It's already deciding that what you say I'll do, you're pre-deciding that. That's what a fully devoted follower of Jesus does. Now, sometimes following is interesting. I have a grandson. Many of you know him. He's a fantastic kid. His name's Kalani, the greatest kid around, and much better than your grandchild or your child. And sometimes with Kalani, we've gone to this adventure to the park. And when we go to this adventure to the park, we sometimes explore this creek. And here's what. He needs me to get there. He cannot find it by himself, right? So he has to follow me to the creek. And so he has to pay attention to me. And when we get there, this whole time when we're exploring the creek, he has to follow me to get to the creek. And then we're at the creek. He has to keep his eye on him, keep near, and follow me and listen to me and respond to me, or else we got him in the creek, not outside the creek. And so, and you know, what's interesting is there's these points in which that, I just know, and when he does that, he has a blast. It is so exciting for him, but it's all tied to him if he will follow or not. And there's that kind of, there's these moments in following. And like, there's this stream and there's this rock, and I'm saying, Klonny, now put your foot right there. And then if you just kind of like this, you can jump over that. And he has that look like, I don't know if I believe you. And, or I don't know if I can do that. And I have to say, no, you can put it right there. And, you know, there's that spot of following in which you come across something that it goes against your natural capacity. You have to trust someone else to say, are you sure this is going to work? You know? Now, Klonny also has another adventure, and that's he's the swimming pool, okay? And so he can't get to the swimming pool unless he follows us to the swimming pool. He doesn't know how to get to the swimming pool, but he gets to the swimming pool. He does really good, and probably better now, but when he first did it, I remember his mom did really good about getting him to the pool, the edge of the pool. But once he was at the edge of the pool, this very large, deep pool, he kind of decided, you know, in his mind, he kind of knew how this was going to go. I mean, he's 3 years old. He's had some history. And he knew how to take care of things. And so he quit following at that point and just decided he would, because he had a conceptual idea of this is what it means to swim, which means basically, here's the strategy. Jump in. That was it. And it didn't work, but he tried it a couple of times. And so there's times in which that we have this kind of following is difficult because we have a preconceived idea. It's going to probably happen this particular way, so we don't become a good follower because we have a way of looking at it that's not the way it's going to be. Now, there's a lot of parallels, isn't there, to house and following Jesus? I mean, that we have these places in which are kind of a challenge to follow, these points in which that it's kind of like crossing that creek. It's like I jump in the deep. I'm not sure if this is going to work. I don't know what this is going to look like once I do. I've not experienced it before, and we have to trust something beyond our natural capacity to grasp it. Now, it can be a real challenge. And sometimes we actually have places in which that we kind of think this is the way it has to be, and then it starts being different than that, and the way God leads us, and we go, no, God, you have to understand, it has to be this way, and it makes it difficult for us to, and a challenge to follow. Now today, what I want to focus in, I want to focus on that kind of point, that point in which that we're at that line, and God is calling us and asking us to trust Him and to follow Him, but it's a bit of a challenge. You know, we're at that spot where we're not sure, honestly, if it's going to be a good thing or not. We're questioning it. We're kind of thinking, I'm not sure if God understands what I need, and we end up at a spot, or we start assuming things, and we miss what God has and what He's calling us into. Now, at these points, what I've found, it's often not that we just say no to God when He starts challenging us and stirring us in areas. Sometimes we do. But often what we do is we feel like we don't know what to do. And so at this point, we start coming up with lots of very good reasons to delay a choice and what we should do and how we should step out because we're not quite ready. And even though we want to, you know, even though we really want to, we end up not doing it because we can't trust, you know. So, as we talk, I'm hoping a couple things. I mean, I'm even hoping now that you're thinking about things that God may be challenging you on to step out in. You know, He's asking you, follow me here. But what I want to specifically talk about is our whole church. You can apply it both ways. Because I believe that we're at some kind of crossing point at our church right now. I honestly believe that. And programs and systems are not going to take us there. It's going to be our hearts choosing to follow God as a church, individually and corporately, crossing a line in which that I believe there's great joy, satisfaction and amazing things that will happen on the other side of it. You know, when you cross that line of trusting God and actually following Him and saying yes to Him, it's amazingly good. I mean, it is so good. I think about Kalani when he made it across the creek and just, it was good. You know, it was scary, but it was so good. And I think about when he actually waits now and then jumps in the pool when his mother says jump in, when he becomes a good follower in that and swims to his mother and swims back and forth, you can just see him glowing. It's just an amazingly good satisfaction that goes on inside of him. And it's interesting because it's not just because, you know, swimming's fun or crossing a creek's fun, which I guess it is. But what's interesting, it can be even the most hard things can still feel that way. You guys ever had those kind of things where you do something extremely hard and it's extremely satisfying? Because you give yourself all the way over to it. One time when I was in grade school, me and about three or four other boys, we started thinking there's a vacant lot and we need a fort. Because if you're a boy, you need a fort. But we started thinking everybody has a fort. We need a fort that's below ground. We need a fort that no one can see, that has boards over the top of it, and dirt and grass and trees, and we have a chute we slide down into it, and we all get in our fort. And before you know it, we were in this vacant lot. I didn't even want to make my bed, but I was over there digging for 8 hours a day for 2 weeks. We just worked and worked and worked, and we had a fort. We slid down in it so big that three boys could slide down and take their flashlights and stand together in this fort underground. And no one could see us. And I had three stitches. I was completely, my brother hit me instead of a shovel. It was completely exhausting. I was filthy. And it was so fun. You know? Now here's what I'm saying on all that craziness is this. Is that was three boys who wanted to dig a hole. And when I gave myself over to it completely, it was a blast. Now think about this. What if we have someone like God who has a plan for the entire human race that we can give ourselves over to and participate in, even if it's hard? What a deal. I mean, what would that feel like? That's what it feels like when you say yes to those places that are hard to follow God. You know, and Jesus is just, if you notice in Scripture, He's always asking us to follow us. He starts that way. He does it in the middle. He does it at the end. It's all the way through. He's just asking us to say, do you want to go further? Do you want more? Do you come near to me? Follow me. You know, come and get in on what I'm doing. He's always inviting us to follow Him and to participate and be near Him. And we have to respond. But we get to this spot, it can be kind of like that whole thing of crossing the creek, right? We want it, but it's hard. And we have to make that choice to go against what we naturally feel to trust what God is saying. If you want to turn to Luke 9, you can, or you can just read on the screen. This is Jesus, and he says, and as he's walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, and to him, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus replied. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service, for service in the kingdom of God. Now, here we have three people. One who's saying, I will follow you. He's the one that volunteers it, you know, and jumps ahead. And I would say he's kind of like Kalani jumping off the deep end. You know, he's not sure what he's getting into. And Jesus says, you're seeing this in a way you need to understand that you, following me, there's sacrifice. In fact, I don't have a house. I have no place to lay my head. And then the second man, he comes on and Jesus you know, basically tells him to follow him. And he said, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Now, I think that's a pretty good reason. I mean, I'd give him a pass on that one. But Jesus doesn't. And he says, you know, go let the dead bury the dead. You go proclaim the kingdom of God. And then the third man, he wanted to say goodbye to his family. And Jesus didn't say, okay, why don't you go do that? He says, no one puts his hand in the plow and looks back as fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, this isn't a story of Jesus being mean. You know, it's not that Jesus doesn't want to honor parents he's against funerals or burying people. You know, that's not the point. It's that Jesus is addressing something we can't see, the things that are going on in these people's hearts. And these are really good excuses, you know. But what the question is they're saying, I must do this first. Even good things. I must do this first. And he's saying, no, that's not the way it works. It's, you need to say yes now. You know, we have this thing about we really believe things need to be in a certain order. You don't realize it, but we do. And some of you are reading the story and you're like defending this guy. Jesus, give him a break. Just let him go talk to us. Just let him bury his father. You know, you're like, that's not fair, you know, because we think that way. And that's the way he thought too. Like, you got to be kidding me, you know. And that's the whole point. It's like, it's a really good excuse, but it's missing the point. It's missing the point of saying, no, you say yes. When God asks you to follow him, and I can say this from experience and from scripture and everything else, is the only thing that you can do that you won't regret is to say yes. You know, the only thing you can do, the best thing you can do is just to say yes. And it's hard because it's difficult when it goes against something you naturally feel like is important. But he knows best, you know. And what can happen is, you know, it's okay to say, yes, God, but I'm afraid. Would you stay with me? Yes, God, help me in this. You know, those are all great yes answers. But saying, no, I'm not going to say yes until I do this, is not a good answer. Now, we need to understand there's these times in our following, devoted following of God, that we come across these particular points in our life where, you know, we just, what God is asking, we can't grasp how this should be the way it is. It's our natural ability to think, I should do this, is not there. And I want to say is that as I look back on my life, this is kind of interesting, is the choices that I've made that I felt God was asking me to do that completely went against, even though I knew God was asking me, how I would have gone about it, have been the most powerful choices I've ever made in my life. They have dramatically affected me and the people around me. But it's so upside down to how we think. And so we find ourselves in these places of coming up with places of reason that we should wait. And it's interesting. This is an interesting example of someone who said yes, even though it didn't make much sense. Here we have James and John. You can imagine that he's there with his father. This is the family business, the threesome family business, and they're getting ready to go to work. Right in the middle of work, Jesus comes and says to the two sons, who are probably the hardest working part of the fishing business, come and follow me. And immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. Now, everything within our logic says that was ridiculous. You can't just do that. But it was the best decision that they probably have made in their entire life. You understand? When God tells us to do something, there's times that it feels upside down to what we want to do, but it is so good when we say yes to it. Now, years ago, I was praying for our church. And I would guess what the Bible would call a vision. That sounds a little grandiose, so I'll call it a vivid movie in my head that kept playing. Oh, I think a vision sounds better than that. All right, so I had a decision, and I can just tell you, and you can disagree with me, but I'm confident that a couple things. That it wasn't my imagination. It was from God. And it was directly for this church, this particular church. And I have thought about this vision so many different times. It's like a short movie that I can play, and it never changes, but I focus in on, I know it sounds weird, I can focus in on particular parts, and God uses it to speak to me. As weird as that sounds. And this is not normal for me. But I think about this a lot. And over the years, it has influenced me in very much the decisions I make as we lead the church. And I cannot tell you how many times I meditate on this short movie. And every time I do, I feel God's presence. And I can't describe why it means so much, quite honestly. I'm going to try to explain it a little bit. Now, most of you who have been around for a while have heard this numbers of times, and some of you, this will be brand new to you. I think I've shared it in a couple of teachings. But I want to share it again. But right now, I feel like of all the times, even though this has been always something I think about, of all the times in our church, I feel that this particular vision applies so directly to where we're at as a church right now, of all times. And where God is asking us to follow Him. Now, and here's the vision, or the movie, whichever you prefer, or my imagination, whatever you prefer. It's a sunny day, and there's these crops that look a lot like this of corn. It's dry, and there's just rows and rows of these corn that is ready to be harvested. They're tall, and there's two strands of barbed wire between that separate me and the field. And we have our church coming because we know it's time to harvest. And so we're all going to help out. So we come and we're hanging around. We're sitting around. There's this propane tank. I don't think that has any symbolic meaning. But, we're hanging around and we're sitting around and we're laughing and having a great time, you know, like we always do in the vineyard. So we're having a good time and catching up with each other and caring about each other, all this stuff. And we keep waiting. And a few people walk in, you know, kind of toss the corn around and come back in over the fence, and we're waiting. And then everybody kind of, I'm not really completely in charge. I don't know why that was in the dream, but I was like, I'm kind of in charge. And so I'm kind of waiting. So I keep looking down the road. I keep going, looking down the road, waiting for the combines and the tractors. And I keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And then pretty soon everybody kind of gets a little edgy and like bored, you know. And I come back, and all of a sudden there's this kind of movement that starts happening among the group. And they've decided to just start. And they start going through this barbed wire fence, and it's like it's like everybody starts flying through this fence. I mean, getting through it, and pretty soon we spread out in this field, and it's crazy, and we're laughing, and there's parents with kids, they're of all ages, and we're breaking off the corn, and we're filthy, and the husks are falling, and we're having a blast, and we're going crazy on harvesting, and it just starts happening. In this huge way, we start creating ways of making it work, and we're all just doing it all by hand. It's just, we feel this excitement. It's like a party. And then we start realizing, wait a second, there never were any combines or tractors coming. This isn't second best, this is the only way we were supposed to harvest this. And this was it. And we're looking around and we're just amazed at how God has done this. We have all this harvest around us and we just can't hardly believe it's happened. You know? Now, this may be obvious, but, you know, the field, when Jesus speaks of the field, it's speaking of the harvest field. He's talking about people. Okay? You know? He likes corn. But he likes people better, you know? So it's people. And we are the church, the people who have been sent out into the fields. We are the workers in the fields. So we go out and we go into people's lives, in our everyday lives. We talked about it in our mission statement. And with our words and with our actions and with our love and with our engagement, we bring about this amazing thing, a spiritual harvest where people actually connect and experience the power of God and get connected to God and experience Jesus' forgiveness, His transformation, healing, and then they become disciples as well. Now, this is a picture of a missional community. And even though it was hard and we were covered with sweat and dirt, I tell you, the feeling in this vision was amazing. And it was interesting because there's this contrast of the difference between one side, staying on one side of the fence, and when we went on to the other side of the fence. And when we went on the other side of the fence, we started realizing God's here, even more than over here. And so a couple things I would say in this to take away is that as a church, we have to understand that mission and community are married. It's not mission and community over here, checks and balances. It's mission and community. And we have to understand, if we want community, if we want depth of intimacy, if we want real community, we will not find it unless we're on mission. Unless we're stretching and following God and Jesus into places that we normally wouldn't go, we will not be able to have this community increase. You know? In fact, and the other thing is, we are a church, we can never do mission without community. Anybody who tells you otherwise, well, I just disagree with them. It's not what we see in Scripture. It's the people of God going together and doing it, supporting each other, and being the body of Christ, and doing something that nothing could have happened alone. And so, we have to understand, these things are together. It was like when we crossed the fence, when people started crossing the fence, you would think because we have less time around each other, it's more work, we would think in our natural that the community level would go down and the missional level would go up. But ironically, it was exactly the opposite. The community level went up as we were on mission. Now, the other thing is that there's this really key point in this, is where I'm at a point where I'm waiting. And this is a tension with all of our hearts, especially me as a leader, is there's this kind of feeling in which we look at the need out there and we think, there has to be something really big show up for this to be dealt with. I mean, we're this little group of people. I mean, what are we going to do with all this? You know? And when I was at this point of realizing, when we were in the field harvesting and thinking, there's no combines coming because that's not the way it's done well. It can't be done efficiently that way. The only way in the kingdom, the only way God advances His kingdom is through His people. Not through systems and programs and structures and big things that aren't relational. He does it through people. You understand how radical that is? Is to understand, that's why you hear me say all the time about Jesus when He looks at the field, right? And he says, oh, they need God so badly. They're like sheep, all pulled away from God, and they need God's healing. They need God's deliverance. And so, what does He teach His disciples to pray for? Workers. Pray that more workers will enter the field. That's how the kingdom is advanced. If we want to be an effective church, it's not going to be because we have this program here and we do this and we have a bigger building and we have two services. It's going to be because we all are entering in to the lives of people to greater and greater degrees. And that's how God expands His kingdom. We get to be used by Him. The other thing I noticed is it was extremely messy. I mean, it felt a lot more disorganized than I liked. You know? It was a mess. It was kind of a little crazy. But God did amazing things. And it wasn't a skill-based thing. It was like whoever decided to cross the line seemed to have the capacity to do what God had asked them to do. It wasn't so much that they had to learn everything and know everything about everything. They just, their willingness in going to the field gave them the capacity to bring the kingdom. And so everybody could do it. Kids, youth, everybody. And the amount that was accomplished was phenomenal. And there's this one scene that I'll close with that kind of that was probably one of the most emotional parts of the vision. Is it's when I'm looking around and all of a sudden these people are deciding they're going to get in there and do something. Even though they didn't know where it was going to go to. And there's this kind of scene where everybody was holding open the barbed wire fence and helping people through and holding people up. And it was just this ability. And there's something about mission when we do it in the context of the community. It gives us the courage to do things we couldn't do otherwise. It gives everybody a place to participate in a way they couldn't before. There's something about doing mission in community that gives us brave hearts to trust, because it was like this. I remember seeing certain people kind of sitting back like this, and after this large number went, they said, oh, what the heck, I'll go too, and they went too. And it gave everybody a place to participate, even if they were nervous, didn't know how to do it. And in the middle of it, there was this amazing connection between all of us. Now, God wants us to follow. And, you know, when he asked these guys, he says, you know, he gave them a hint to where they're going to go to. He says, you know, don't go back to the dead. Go to the people who need life. Bring the kingdom to people who are out there who need life. Proclaim the kingdom in the way you live and what you do and interact. And God wants to do that through us. And the thing is, everyone here can participate and be effective. But it's not in skill level. It's not in doing it all right. It's in saying yes and entering in. So would you stand? I'd like the worship team to come up and also the communion servers.